I'd like to share some more great stories and records of deliverance tonight. Tonight is like stories of deliverance dash keep moving. Okay? Keep moving. So I think we'll go to Luke 15. Let's move there. Luke chapter 15. Been getting so blessed doing this. Luke 15, yeah. We'll go to verse 1. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees, who came to hear him? The publicans and the sinners. I think I find that interesting. It's the first time I thought of that since I've been looking at this. But that's who came. People who really had needs. Not people who had it all together, had their nice cars, had their nice religion. Nope, because the next verse tells you that. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They had their nice cars. They had their nice religion. They knew the word of God. And what did they do? They murmured against him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, isn't that a shame? Have we gotten so puffed up that we can't do that? I hope not. The answer is, yeah, we have, then the word's never going to move. Anyway, because God doesn't call perfect people. Remember that? Look around. Go on. Take a chance.
He makes them perfect.
Yeah, well, look around. There's not too much perfect in here except the Christ in us. Yeah, anyway, that's not what I wanted to share. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, 100 sheep, Alex, if he lose one of them, doth not leave his 90, the 90 and 9 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And I think you guys remember that a shepherd really was responsible for those sheep, and he protected them, he guarded them, he guided them, he fed them, he kept them from danger. And if one got missing, boy, that was their mission to get that one. And when he hath found that one, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, Yahoo! And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just and perfect people is what I call it, which need no repentance. That's sarcasm in the word, by the way. So God gets real blessed when people come to him and come back to him. I expect that there's believers that we know that are way out in left field right now that one day will come back. And when they do, there'll be a party. And it'll be a celebration. It won't be, where the hell have you been? Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to continue to do with your heart and your head. And there's people, I'll shut up. Next verse. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? Those were gifts that were very precious in the lands and times of the Bible. They weren't worth much monetarily, but they were worth a whole lot in many other respects. And when she'd found that one piece, she calleth her friends, she calleth her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, so Jesus is on a roll. He's one parable, another parable. Now he's off to another parable. Can you imagine the parables? You can. He said, a certain man had 2 sons. How many sons?
2.
That's fantastic. Younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. It doesn't say what country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he took all this money and he went to a far country and he spent all the money with riotous living. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, which was like the lowest job on the totem pole you could possibly get. And he would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine ate. He was eating pig food. And no man gave unto him. And finally, he came to himself. That ever happened to you? You ever really screw it up really bad for quite a while, and then one day you're like, wait a minute. Wait. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And here I am, I'm sitting here eating with pigs. I perish with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Don't you love that? I do. He got the order right. He sinned against God, and he also sinned against his father. And that was quite a kid. And am no more worthy to even be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I just wonder if that dad just didn't sit there every day waiting for his son to come home. Well, don't know that to be true. But that particular day it was true. He was sitting there and he saw him afar off. And he had compassion. Compassion is empathetic identification, I know what it means, but it really just means put yourself in the other person's shoes. You know, you might not know why a man limps until you find that there's a rock in his shoe. So he had compassion and he ran. He didn't walk. He ran. So would you if you had a child. And he fell on his neck, which means he embraced him and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against thee. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. This young kid had meekness. He didn't have meekness when he took the money and spent it on riotous living. But he came to himself. Like, what am I doing? Jeez, I got to get home. And he goes home and he asks God for forgiveness. He asks his dad for forgiveness. And the father, verse 22, said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and his shoes in his feet, and bring him the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and let us party. For this my son was dead. Now he's alive. Look at him. He's back here. He was lost. Now he's found. And they began to be merry. They partied. They danced. They played LL Cool J. They played Public Enemy. They played U2. They played everybody. And they're dancing and they're partying and they're so happy that the son's back. They didn't say, where the hell you been? Kick them in the teeth and make them beg for mercy? That's religion, people. That's not us. Better not be. Now his elder son, he was in the field, and he came, and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. He heard that there was a house party going on. He heard that there was music, that there was dance. He could hear it, Public Enemy. And he was out there working, and he called one of his servants and said, What's going on? And he said unto him, thy brother has come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, behold, because he hath received him safe and sound. And the brother was happy. No, he was angry. And he wouldn't go in. He was pissed. Therefore came his father out. And again, this dad is some dad. Just like he did with his younger son, he came and he looked for his older son. And he entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, in these many years I served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid, you know, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with whores, harlots, and that ain't an innkeeper, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And the dad said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet. It was right, it means, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive and good. He was lost, and he's now found. Stories of deliverance. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep going. Keep going. It's fantastic truth, boy. Go to Acts 26. Wanted to share this tonight because, again, it's a reminder to me of the theme of the Power for Better Living class, the original verse that was the purpose of the class is in verse 18. It says to open their eyes. Boy. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness and unto light. And from the power of Satan unto God. What a reason. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Why? That they can receive forgiveness of sins. None of us can change what we did yesterday. It's gone. We've been forgiven. Keep moving on. Get up. Stand up. Move forward with God. Can't change yesterday. And we shouldn't let a misspent past dictate our future. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. The whole chapter is just fantastic, but we'll go to verse 44. And there's so many records like this. Joe Armstrong taught on this. I can't remember what teaching or where it was, but he taught a couple weeks ago on when things get in the way, how Satan had hindered Paul from going to see the believers, or other instances where Peter or Paul were hindered. After they got through that, they went around it, they went through it, whatever they needed to do. As soon as they got around it or through it, they continued to speak the word. They kept moving. Stories of deliverance. Keep on moving. Verse 44. Next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Well, what a vision that is. Where's your vision? To hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were so blessed. No, they were filled with envy. And they spake against those things which were spoken of Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Paul said, believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They said, do not believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Paul said, you're healed. They said, no, you're not. Paul said this. They said that. Anything against what the word of God was, because that's what they came to hear, and that's what Paul gave them. He gave them the word of God. And the Jews contradicted it and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, hey, first of all, it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken to you first. But seeing you put it from you, you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. How about you? Are you spending all your time with just certain people and they continue to say screw you to God without maybe saying those words? But that's what they're doing. Well, meanwhile, somewhere over there in the corner, there's somebody who really needs your help. Maybe he's a downer and outer. Maybe he was one of the people Jesus would have talked to. Who are you going to spend time with? Who are you going to try to help? Hey. Hey, we wanted to share the word with you guys first. We shared it with you, and you continue to say, forget it. We don't want it. As a matter of fact, not only do we want it, I want it, we're going to put you in jail for it. We're going to throw you to the, you know, the side. So, judge yourselves on whether you have everlasting life. You turn down everlasting life. What are we supposed to do? We're going to the Gentiles. Pretty cool. Here is this old farmer. He really wasn't that old, but Dr. Victor Paul Werwell, in the middle of the hippie movement in California, a bunch of dirty, filthy, long-haired people smoking pot everywhere, high as a kite, having sex everywhere. God tells this farmer from Ohio to go there. I know that happened. I know people that were there. But Dr. Werwell had spent years trying to teach the people who should have believed the word of God. And he basically, in his action, did the same thing. You judge yourself unworthy of the word of God, I'm going to the hippies. And that's what he did. And I wouldn't be here, and George wouldn't be here for sure if he didn't, a lot of us. That made no sense knowledge whatsoever. None. Just ridiculous. A skinny little guy with Brill cream on his hair. Yeah. Walking into that den of iniquity. That's what he did. Boy, and the word sure moved as a result of that. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And I'm glad he did, because we're here. Mm-hmm. We're nothing but a bunch of mutts. We're Gentile mutts. Well, we were. Now we're believers, God's best. I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they weren't envious. They weren't mad. They were glad. When they heard this, their eyes lit up. Their hearts lit up. Wow! And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were set apart, it should read, to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the regions. What a fantastic movement of God's word. But, in contrast to that, the Jews stirred up the devout, honorable women. And you don't want to stir up a woman. A woman gets stirred up, things happen. And I love that about women. Stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. I have no idea how many people believed or anything like that, but I know a bunch of them did. And, you know, that means they got born again. They ministered eternal life to these people, shared the word of God with them, told them that they'd be a light to the ends of the earth. They threw them out. They threw them out of the city. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass at Iconium that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake a great multitude of both the Jews and also the Greeks believed. They didn't go home after getting thrown out of the city and cry for 10 days. They didn't cry for 10 days because they got thrown out. No, They kicked off the dust off their feet and they moved on down the line. They went to Iconium, and what did they do? They did the same thing. They spoke the word of God. They spoke the word of God. Unless God's word is spoken, no one's going to believe. How can they hear without a preacher? You're the preacher. I'm the preacher. Why do you think God invented a mouth? Why do we have this thing? Certainly not for the way most people use it. Why did God give us a brain? Certainly not to hold all the negatives and the fears and the anxieties of this world, but to hold God's word in the depths of our head, in the depths of our heart, so that the mouth will speak it. And that takes work. But it's not really hard work if our desire is there, and if our expectation of God coming through for us is there. I had the privilege of spending probably some of the best 4.5 hours in years and years and years this past Wednesday. Was that yesterday? Maybe it was Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. I don't remember when it was, but I spent it with Patty. What's her last name, Dietis?
Vera.
And she's a wonderful believer from Ecuador. And she's been over here for a while. And boy, oh boy, she asked me so many questions that it was just unbelievable. And she doesn't speak any English. Of course, I speak fluent Spanish, so it was very easy. Now, Christina Armstrong was with her. And oh man, it just reminded me of all the miraculous things that God has done, not just for me, but the ministry and how the word has moved. And it just really blessed me. I'm sure it blessed her, but man, it blessed me just to see the hunger. She wanted to know. She wanted to know. She wanted to know. And boy, it was a blessing. Obstacles come up all the time. Some of them appear more serious than others, but you got to keep moving. Stories of deliverance, keep moving. They shook the dust off and they kept moving. Go to Matthew 10. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner, and all manner of disease. Now, the name of the apostle, the 12 apostles are these. Go to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, and said, go not the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. You know, I kind of gave a commandment like this to the people that went to Atlanta. I don't know if they've listened yet. I told them to stay away from the religious people. Forget it. Anyway, hope this goes out. He said, go the way of the Gentiles. Not the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So there's instructions. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely what?
Yeah.
That's quite a charge that is given to these 12. Cast out devils, heal all manner of sickness. Come on, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Wow. Freely you have received, freely what?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us that the purpose of being born again is that you might know the things that are freely given to us. It didn't cost us anything. It cost God everything, his only begotten son. Everything we have is a result of, we didn't pay for none of it. We just need to go out and have fun with it. Go bless somebody. Go heal somebody. Go get somebody born again. Go, go. The word's going to move. It needs somebody to move. It ain't going to get done now if nobody will do it. You waiting for me to do it? I hope not. You're too old? Well, then die. Too old? Too old.
Jeez.
Give me a bit. Look at Joe. He's, what are you, 80?
Almost.
And their fellowship is thriving. Hey. Because he made up his mind with Camille. When he finally made up his mind. Signs, miracles, and wonders. God moving. People getting in the word. Boy, oh boy, that's exciting to me. So you're too old? I don't think so. Too lazy, maybe. Don't care enough, possibly. We have a starving world waiting on you, you, me, waiting on us. How many people in the world do you think have had the privilege of knowing a little bit of the rightly divided word like we do? We don't know it all, but not that many, man. Heal the sick. Cleanse the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the dead. I guess they do that. Raise the dead. Cast out devils freely and receive freely what? Yes. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, travel light. Don't take much. I remember putting a Power for Abundant Living class together in 2 weeks, and I was given $100 and I was supposed to come back with it. How's that happen? And we did. In the middle of tornadoes and everything else. It's exciting. Or script for your journey, neither two coats, you can take one, neither shoes, take one, nor yet staves, for the workman's worthy of his meat. And in whatsoever city or town you should enter, inquire of who it is worth, in it is worthy, and there abide till you go hence. You know what that involves? I just know it involves prayer. It involves walking around, watching. You know, before you get the flowers, you got to plant them. You got to have good soil. You got to water them. You got to, there was time involved here. Whatever city or town you had, inquire in it who is worthy. How would they inquire who is worthy? They'd have to pay a little bit of attention. And there abide till you go thence. See? So when you come into a house, salute it. And that means bring peace with you. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it isn't worthy, let your peace return to you. You go someplace where you're not welcome or they don't want to hear the word of God, you've blessed them. But leave not thinking you may have said something wrong or you might have done something wrong. Or what did I do to offend them? Leave with peace as well. Okay? And I think sometimes a lot of us here, we deal with believers. And sometimes, unfortunately, they don't want our help. And then a problem can occur. You can go home and wonder if you could have only just said this. Or if you could only just said that, or if I'd have only done this, or if I'd have only done. No! Leave with peace and keep praying, but keep moving. The devil tries to get us to stop. He does it by hurting us, hindering us, getting us anxious, maybe getting us sick. Keep moving. And if the house be worthy, if they're blessed, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city, keep moving. Shake off the dust of your feet. How many times have we all been in this situation? We've been in this situation where people are so happy to see us and they love to hear the word we share and they love our fellowship. And also we've been in people's homes where they really don't want you there. They don't want you there and they don't want to hear what you have to say. And so many times you try your best to try to share with them and you know what ends up happening? You feel bad and they don't. Something's wrong with that. Let your peace return unto you. Then it says, shake off the dust off your feet. Dust in the word of God is symbolic of hate, of resentment, of malice, of ill will, and it's also symbolic of holding a grudge. This means shake the dust off, not to carry those things in your heart or in your mind, but rather carry love in your heart, no matter what happens to you, no matter how badly you may be treated, carry that love. Come with love, leave with love. Even if there's a debate, a dispute, even if people do not want you, even if people don't receive what you have to say, leave with love. Shake the dust off. And don't try to pour God's light into somebody who doesn't want it. It won't work. They'll resent you for that. That's why walking by the Spirit's so important. I try to throw myself in the ring all the time. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I let the peace return to me and move on down the line. Either way, you got to move on down the line. Mm-hmm. You got to keep moving, Jack. You can't just sit there and whine. 1 Samuel. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And think of the deliverance, because if you read further in the Gospels, you'll see that these people came back rejoicing, and even the devils had to shut up and all this stuff. So they saw the signs, miracles, and wonders. Mm-hmm. 1 Samuel 15. Joe shared the first part of this chapter, which I'm not going to, where Saul doesn't do what Samuel tells him to do. And they have, you know, God probably, I'm sure, opened the door for Saul to come clean, but he never did. And so Samuel had to walk away from Saul. And that was very hard. Mm-hmm. Let's look at 32 of 15. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag. Oh, this is bad for Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Samuel says, as the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. Uh-oh. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel, then Samuel went up. That's really not what I wanted to read. Agag couldn't keep moving on. So. But hang on here. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to this house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Boy, that must have hurt him. He ordained him. He anointed him. I don't know, man. That would be tough. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. It doesn't say Saul was mourning, does it? And the Lord repented that he even made Saul king of Israel. Verse 1 of 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long are you going to cry for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among the sons, his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. So God, Samuel asked for the wisdom with which to walk, and God told him, take a heifer so you could sacrifice to the Lord. And I'll call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So God tells Samuel, go to the house of Jesse, bring a heifer, and I'll let you know by name who to anoint. So Samuel did that which the Lord spake, which is not the case of Saul in chapter 15, as you remember. But Samuel did. And he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Now, why did they do that? Because he was a man of God. Sometimes man of God come in to reprove the whole joint. That's not pleasant. So, you know, being the people they were, they said, what kind of mood is Samuel in? Is he in a good mood? How's he doing? Samuel did what was the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town said, is he peaceable? Is he coming peaceably? And he said, peaceably. And I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked. What does it require to look?
Senses.
What kind of senses?
Your eyes.
Seeing.
Seeing.
Right. Your eyes. So, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. He took a look at Eliab, who was the oldest son. Mm-hmm. And he said, what does that require?
Your mouth.
He said out loud, the prophet Samuel, the great prophet Samuel said, and he's at a sacrifice with Jesse and all his family. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He actually said it. He said it. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Boy, that's the truth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what?
Heart.
God always looks on the heart. He always looks on the heart. He doesn't look on how well you're dressed or how poorly you're dressed, how great your vernacular is, how terrible your vernacular is. He doesn't look on whether you make a lot of money or don't make a lot of money. He doesn't look on your profession, whether you're a window washer or whether you're an executive, a CEO. He doesn't look at that. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. Now Samuel's getting sharp. Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Go next. Then Samuel, he hasn't chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Hey, I didn't choose these. Nah. And then Samuel said unto Jesse, is this all your kids? And he said, well, there remaineth a youngster, got the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And you know they were hungry. So he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went and moved on to Ramah. Stories of deliverance keep moving on. Samuel probably would have still been mourning for Saul had not God told Samuel to get up. So Samuel kept moving on. And we are very thankful that he did keep moving on, because David got anointed. David got anointed. Who was called and referred to in the book of Acts as a man after God's own heart. If Eliab would have been the guy, you know, I don't think it would have been too great.
Right.
David was the guy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So great, great records here of moving on. Yeah. Samuel, after Saul's death, that boy, after he was eaten with the pigs, and also the other brother, you know, they learned something there. Jesus teaching the apostles, they reject you, keep moving, shake the dust, get rid of any resentment, get rid of any hatred, all that stuff, you know, what other grudges or malice or any of that stuff. Leave with the love of God. Leave with the love of God. Come with the love of God. Leave with the love of God. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. God is our safety. That's our safety net, God. And for those of us who have homes, our home should be a refuge for people. People should feel safe in our homes. They should feel comfort. They should feel blessed. God is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, Alex and Andrea are here with their kid. Is your son here too?
Yes.
Yeah. And I just remember going to the hospital when they had their baby boy. And he didn't do too good. And just me and Bob praying and stuff and thinking, well, this is just a time. Soon it'll all be better. Sometimes when you're in that situation, it's not that easy, but God is that way. I just thought of that with the feathers and under His wings, you shall trust His truth and shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall come near you. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, I'm not going to go crazy on this, but part of our hope will be in seeing the adversary go down. That's a great part of our hope. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. I don't understand everything there is to know about angels, but they didn't die. You know, they're still doing their thing. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under the feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. All our love should be towards God. Every ounce of any inkling of love should be towards God. He's never lied to us. He's never failed us. We owe Him that. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Life can be tough. You can get afraid. You can be terrified at night. You can get shook by the noise and pestilence. But we keep looking at God, and God delivers us. God delivers us, and He encourages us to keep moving on. The adversary encourages us to stop and to cry in our coffee, to bitch, moan, and complain. Ask why. Well, all those things are fruitless, except to the adversary, they're fruitful. He gets his believers off track. He gets his believers, the adversary gets the believers away from God and His love and His mercy and His healing wholeness and His deliverance and all that stuff. We're no different than any of these people. We live in a different time, but we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, I was thinking about the woman with the pieces of silver and how everybody rejoiced and had a big party. I was thinking about the son that came home after spending all his money on riotous living and all that stuff, and how they had a party and they were merry. You know, and I've been sharing incidents about things that I've seen in my life. Well, I actually didn't see this one, but it came up again the other day with Patty. And I shared with her about the deliverance that God gave me from being really sick, nigh unto death. And Diane was telling her about, I was still in a coma, but when the doctor called her and said to her what was once fourth stage cancer of the colon has now reduced itself to, what is it?
Resolved to an inflammation process.
Resolved in an inflammation process. So Diane said, well, then I guess what you're saying is it's a miracle. And the doctor said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't here then. I was in the hospital in a coma. But this block had a party. People were drinking tequila. They're all happy. Everyone was up all night just rejoicing. And I get that. Because it's in the Word. When somebody has a victory, we should rejoice with them, whether it's something that drastic or, well, I guess a woman losing a piece of silver back then was really drastic. But, you know, we have to get better at when things go well, or there is a deliverance, or there somebody gets a new job, or somebody gets somebody born again, or somebody, we need to talk that up instead of, are you vaccinated? You know, gag me. Or, you know, isn't Joe Biden an idiot? Or isn't Donald Trump the devil? You know, do we have time for that? I don't like it, but I do like hearing the people when they get healed. I love that. That helps me. It helps you. Believing inspires believing in others. Just read the book of Acts if you don't believe that. Boy, somebody get healed, 1,000 people get born again, you know? Then they get thrown out of town. But they keep moving. Even when Paul got thrown in jail, he kept moving. He kept speaking. As believers, we need to, he only has one mouth but ours. You can't depend on me. I can't depend on you to speak for me. In other words, I'm not going to speak the word because I know Alex is going to speak it. No. Not at all. And the world needs us. They need the deliverance of God. And boy, this has been sure fun going through stories of deliverance and seeing in this particular episode of Fellowship, whatever you call it. Is this a series? It's a Netflix series. Where's what do they call it when you go, you see about 10 in a row?
Binge.
Oh, binge watching.
Binge watch.
Yeah. We need to stream the word in our head. We need to binge watch that every day. And look, pay attention to your surroundings. It's kind of cool. That's the first thing those guys did when Jesus sent them out. Don't ever forget that. That's a big one. They looked around. I imagine they prayed. Before I sent people to Atlanta, I looked around. Right. Cherry Hill, Idaho, same thing. Oh, man. Gives me chills to think about how good God is, right? So that's what I wanted to share.